So we want to always try and practice biblical principles, even in washing our hands. Amen? All right, you've already prayed, so let's get into this morning. It's wonderful to come along and bring the Word of God to you. I'm going to try and fit in what I can this morning on men who lost touch with God. Men who lost touch with God. Let's begin with a character by the name of Samson. Now, of course, we know that Samson was a man of God. We know that he was a man that was anointed by God, appointed by God. But turn to Judges chapter 13, firstly, if you would please. Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. So if you look down here with me in verse 24, it says, "But his wife said unto him, if..." Hang on, we're in the wrong verse here. Get in the right one. Yep. "But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and a meat offering of our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp between the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol." Now, Samson was one of these characters that God had given to his mother. And the Bible says that he was a man that was appointed and anointed of God. And it says the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now, over in the last part of verse 31, the last sentence says, "And he ruled Israel 20 years. So Samson had been around for a while. He was one of the judges during the time of the judges, and he certainly ruled the people of Israel. His main enemy was the Philistines. But incidentally, as we look at the life of Samson, he was a physically strong man, empowered by God, given authority by God. But I want you to see here in the life of Samson the high cost of low living. Well, though he was a man of God, though he was moved by the Spirit of God, one thing we find, he was certainly a man that lost touch with God. We know that God used him in spite of himself. And through these chapters, you can look down into chapter 13, verse 25. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. Down in chapter 14, verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him." Over in verse 19, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him." And back in verse 14 of chapter 15, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands." So we look at Samson. He was a mighty man. He ruled for 20 years. But you know, if we look at the life of Samson, we know sadly God used him in spite of himself. We know that he ruled in the days of the Philistines. We know the Philistines were his enemies. Well, we know also he had desires that were wrong amongst the people of the Philistines. We call him in the Bible the weak strong man. He was physically weak, but when you get down to spiritually weak, he was physically strong, spiritually weak. He was a man with mighty strength and I would say even a physique to go with that. So yes, he was physically very, very strong. He was able to take the gates of a city off the hinges and carry them. I mean, he was able to take men and put them at bay. So we know that he was a mighty and a powerful man. Go back here to Judges 13 and verse 5. Judges 13 and verse 5. God had said, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So as you read through the scriptures here and just follow the life of Samson, yes, he certainly was a mighty man, a powerful man, a man with great authority, but he certainly did not have control over the flesh. Sadly, he was controlled by the flesh, even though he was appointed by God, anointed by God. He certainly lost touch with God because he got involved in things that took him away from the Lord. And we can see that in the last chapter of his life. Someone said that the life of Samson is called the high price of a haircut. I don't know if you ever heard that, the high price of a haircut. But yeah, Samson was a man who certainly abused what God had given him. He knew he was powerful. He knew that he was mighty. There were many things that Samson could do. Tragically, it got to the place where Samson presumed on God. We find there was a lot of presumption in the life of Samson. We know that even though he was appointed by God, anointed by God, he was God's chosen man for the time. He ruled for 20 years. He had a problem with women, flesh, and he had a lot of distractions and disobedience in his life, even though he was a man of God. So these things were the downfall of Samson. These things got in his way of serving the Lord. His desires were wrong. And we as believers need to make sure our desires are right. We need to make sure that our desires are in line with the Word of God. The carnal desires of Samson certainly got him into trouble. We find that he compromised with the wrong sort of women. Even when he chose the wrong sort of women, his parents said, you know, surely you can find a godly woman amongst your own people. But no, that was not to be the case. And so Samson's life was a life of tragedy, really, when you see the foolishness of Samson, the things that he did. Now, let's have a look here in verse 19 through 21. Samson was a man that, as I said, had abused his power. He had abused those things that God had given him, and tragically, he had to pay the price for that. And that's what happens when people get away from God, lose touch with God. I preached also on the life of Naomi and her husband and the two boys. They got away from God in the time of the Judges. They went down to Moab, and of course there was a high price to pay. Dad was taken, and then of course Naomi remained behind with the boys, a single mum raising two boys. Instead of going back home to where she belonged, she stayed in the land of Moab, which was forbidden by the word of God. She stayed on, and the boys married Moabite women, which was, again, contrary to the word of God. And they were there over 10 years, and God took both the boys. So she's left there on her own. So we can learn many things from the tragedies of the lives of those people who have lost touch with God. We read in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. So it's wonderful to read the Word of God. There are many things that are recorded in God's Word, and there's a lesson in the lives of these people that we learn from this morning. Samson made a lot of mistakes, and he did that because of his carnality. Certainly, he certainly admired his own physical strength. He sort of relied upon his own physical strength. He knew his own physical strength. If only he'd followed the Lord closely, it might have been a different outcome. But we know that Samson was a young fellow that had ruled the nation for 20 years, but we know eventually he would lose his power, he would lose his authority, he would lose his strength, he would lose his eyesight, and eventually he would lose his own life. Samson violated the rules of the Nazarite. He was not to be contaminated with dead bodies. But yet handling dead bodies was not a problem to Samson. He not only killed the Philistines, but he stripped them of their clothing. He not only killed a lion with his bare hands, and then later on he went back and ate honey out of the body of that dead lion. When he slew those 1,000 Philistines, he used the new jawbone of an ass. That was off a dead body. Then later on, we find that he even drank water out of that jawbone when he was thirsty. And so we look at Samson's life. His life was a tragedy. He relied much in his physical strength. And then, of course, if he'd relied on the Lord a lot more, greater things would have been accomplished in his life. But sadly, that was not to be. And so we look at the life of Samson. And if you look down chapter 16 with me, please. So Samson in verse 21 says, the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. It's the blinding of Samson and the grinding of Samson. Now he hasn't got the eyes to see them. He's down there in the mill grinding like a common animal, strapped to that beam that would push that great millstone around, crushing the grain. And of course, the people made fun of him. They mocked him. And of course, they were out to have sport with Samson. It's at this time, no doubt, that Samson realizes his life has not been what it ought to have been. Even though God has used him in spite of himself, there's got to be that last hurrah, if you like to put it that way. He says to the young boy, when they take him out to play, have sport with him, to mock him and so forth, they bring Samson into that great stadium there, and it says in verse 27 here, the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there and were upon the roof, about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. He cries out to God, "Oh, give me the strength." And in verse 28, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." So we know that he gave a mighty shove and a heave and brought the house down and killed all those Philistines that were there. But not only that, he paid with his own life. It says in verse 30, Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, upon all the people that were therein, so that the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. So tragically, Samson has died. He's paid the price. And then, of course, it says, and he judged Israel 20 years. But how much of that was a waste? How much more could have been accomplished if he just stayed on the right path? But in spite of Samson, God used him in spite of himself. Let's look at another character here. Go to 1 Samuel, please. So stay on the right track. Don't get off the right track, because it can lead to some devastating consequences. So Samson, yeah, a high price of a haircut. If you go down here to 2 Samuel chapter 9, we'll look at a guy by the name of Saul. What a character Saul was. To read into the scriptures about Saul, oh boy, I tell you what, you can learn something even from this here. Samuel was the prophet. Samuel was leading the people of Israel. And, you know, they came to Samuel and they complained. They said, you know, "We want a king just like the heathen around us, just like the nations about us. We'd like to have a king." And, of course, Samuel was grieved at that. He didn't like the fact that they had wanted a king to replace his leadership. And so he went to the Lord about it and said, you know, "They want a king." And what did the Lord say? "Well, if they want a king, we'll give them a king. Okay, if they're tired of you, they're tired of me. So I'll tell you what, we'll give them a king." And so as you look down through here, they came down and they complained to Samuel. So God said, "Okay, I'll give them a king." And so it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, "And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king." He said, "You know what? You want a king?" God said, "You can have a king." And God said in verse 7, "They've not rejected you, they've rejected me. So don't feel bad about it, Samuel. They have rejected you. They've rejected me, they've not rejected you." You know, when you go out and represent the Lord Jesus Christ said, "He that rejected you, rejected me. And he that rejected me, rejected him that sent me." So don't feel so bad when you get out there and you witness and you give out tracts and you try to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will mock you, they will make fun of you, they will give you a hard time. Well, just remember, as you go out there to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are his representative. And if they would do that to you, they would do that to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "He that rejecteth you, rejecteth me." And so Samuel is sort of disheartened that these people want a king. God said, "You know, they've not rejected you, but they've rejected me. They want a king? All right, we'll give them a king." Turn over the next page here in chapter 8. God says, "Okay, I'm going to give you a king. What's he going to be like?" Well, verse 11, "He will take your sons and appoint them for himself." Verse 12, "He will appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties. He will set them to ear his ground and reap his harvest and make his instruments of war, instruments of chariots. He will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards even the best of them, and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and will give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants, your maid servants, and your goodliest young men and your asses, and you put them to his work. He will take. What we're seeing here is, hey, you want a king? I'm going to give you a king. And when you get him, yeah, there's going to be some things you don't like about him. And so Saul becomes the king. So he's now called King Saul. So if you look over here in chapter 9 and verse 2, it says he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and up, he was higher than any of the people. He stood out in the crowd. Saul was one of those tall young men, a handsome young man, a goodly young man. And as we read about the selection of Saul, we know, I'll have to go quickly through all this. I'll give you the references, but I won't turn there. We know that he was a humble young man. We know that he hid himself amongst the stuff when they were looking for him to anoint him as king. But we know something else about Saul, but like so many others, as time went on, he began to realise the power and the authority that he had been given. And with that power and that authority, we find he was close to God to start with, but then as time went on, he began to take that power, that authority, and that which God had given him, and began to abuse it. And of course, again, as time went on, we know that he began to be disobedient. For example, 1 Samuel 15, where he's to go out and to deal with the enemy. And rather than kill the enemy and kill their animals and so forth, he's decided, well, you know what? What a waste. I'm going to bring some of these animals back. Maybe we're going to have a big party. We'll have a big feast, a festival. We'll have a massive sacrifice, and even brought back the king, which he wasn't supposed to do. I mean, it was spelled out for him, but he still defied what God had told him through Samuel the prophet. Yeah, he might have been tall, good-looking, but he was still appointed, anointed by God. But as time went on, he got further and further away from the Lord and began to rely more and more in his own power, his own strength, his own authority, and began to forget about God. He was also a man that began to be full of pride. We read that through the chapters of Samuel as we read about his life. He was a man that was jealous. He was jealous of David, and his life began to be filled with hatred. And so it was a downward spiral for King Saul. I mean, God put him in the place where he was, and it got to the place where he even no longer sought after God, and even began to go to the dark side to get answers. See him go to the Witch of Endor. What was the cost of all of this for Samson? Well, for Samuel, when he defied God in 1 Samuel chapter 15, it cost him his crown. It cost him his kingdom. Samuel said, you're all washed up, you're finished, your kingdom's gone, you're no longer the king, God's going to get somebody better than you. And we know that God chose David to take his place. And incidentally, Saul knew that, and he was jealous of that, and he sought to have David assassinated and killed a number of times. So Saul was a man that was well and truly away from the Lord, so far away that he went to the Witch of Endor. So what did all this cost him? When he got far away from God, God no longer talked to him. He no longer talked to God. And so, he was in a bad state. And that's what happens when you get away from the Lord. We can learn things from men like Samuel and men like Samson and men like Saul. Samuel was a great man of God, a man of great boldness, a man who didn't fear men. He feared God. And so when they said, we want a king, Samuel was disappointed. But God said, don't be disappointed. They've not rejected you. They've rejected me. They want a king? I'll give them a king. And so they had their king. Great things happened in the early years, but then bad things started to happen. Of course, Saul lost his life. He lost his crown. He lost his kingdom. And of course, David was the one to take his throne. So that's what happens when you look at the lives of these men, and even women, but we're dwelling on men this morning. Samson got away from God. Saul got away from God. But then, of course, I think one of the greatest tragedies in the scripture is a man called Solomon. He was the son of David. And David was a great king, a man after God's own heart. Even David had some problems in his life. But if you look at Solomon, when Solomon became the king and he came before God and he prayed, God, just give me the wisdom to be a good leader to lead your people. He didn't ask for wealth and power and authority and riches, but God gave him that as well as the authority to be the king. God gave him the wisdom to rule. And even the Lord Jesus Christ said, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you follow through with the life of King Solomon, and that's why we try and challenge our kids here in the school to get into the book and read about these people, learn from the lessons of their life, and that's why we try to preach from the Word of God and show you these men. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 17, please. And like Samson had many rules to live by because he was a Nazarite. Solomon also had many rules to live by, already written down and penned in the Word of God. And under the law, the king was to take a copy and write the copy of God's word for himself and have it on hand. So Solomon knew in his life that God was the one who put him there. God was the one who empowered him. God was the one who gave him authority. God was the one who gave him wealth and riches. And then, of course, he was a great leader to start out with. But let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy, back to the time that was written by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Something here. See, God knows the future. God foresees the future, and God has already penned this for the future in Deuteronomy chapter 17. So if you look on down here with me, remember, Israel doesn't even have a king at this stage, okay? Moses is their leader. And so here in Deuteronomy chapter 17, look down into verse 16. Well, it says in verse 14, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwelt therein, shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as the nations around about me. See, God knew what they were going to do. God penned it in the scriptures. He said, thou shalt in any wise set him a king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. So he's certainly got to be an Israelite. That's spelled out in the scripture. Verse 16. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, you shall not henceforth return, you shall henceforth return no more that way, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Now you just look at those two verses alone and you see King Solomon later on in his life violated so many of those things. He certainly did multiply unto himself horses, certainly women. He had a problem with women. He had 1,000 women in his life, and these were the ones who turned his heart away from the Lord. He even began to build places of worship and idols and altars for them and begin to partake of all that sort of stuff with them. And so it's tragic to read of the life of King Solomon. Yes, the wisdom of Solomon. I just penned a couple of things down here. He was famous for the buildings. 1 Kings 3:1. He built palaces everywhere. 1 Kings 7, verse 18, chapter 9, verse 10, and so on. He built himself holiday homes, 1 Kings 7, verse 2 through 7. Cities, he built cities, 1 Kings 9, 15 through 19. He was busy. I mean, he was busy in the Lord's work, busy in the king's business, but forgot about the king. You know, as time went on, like so many, he got further and further away from the Lord, began to abuse the authority and the privilege that God had given him. He went above and beyond what God had given him and abused that. He built himself pools, it says in Ecclesiastes 2, 4 through 6. You know, he had pets. Boy, you read down there in 1 Kings 10:22, he had pets, he had primates, he had peacocks. Yeah, he even had monkeys and apes as pets. Had his own zoo, a it seems. Pure gold dinnerware. Mate, his plates and that and cups and that were all made out of gold. Phew. That's 1 Kings 10:21 and 2 Chronicles 9:20. So, you know, you look at Samuel, these were men who got away from God. But then you look at Solomon. He got far away from God, but he had 1,000 women in his life. And these were the ones who caused him to stray. Look at 1 Kings 11, please. I spoke to the kids the other day and I said, you know, the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, he says, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And I think that's one of the problems here with King Solomon. You know, he had it all, but he wanted more. Down here in 1 Kings chapter 11, if you look there with me, please. Woo, 2 Kings. Let me get into 1 Kings here. 1 Kings chapter 11, and if you look at verse 4 with me. Well, look at verse 3. It says he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So he's got right away from the Lord. Men who lost touch with God. Solomon was just like Samson. He was like Saul. They lost touch with God. And so it's a sad, sad story to see this happening in the lives of men like Solomon, Samson, and Saul. Samuel was a great prophet. I tell you what, he went through a lot of grief with Saul. Lastly, this morning, I want to just hit on Uzziah. Now, what time do you usually let him out of a Sunday morning, brother? When you finish. That's how long is a piece of string, brother. That's a dangerous precedent. All right, let's look at one fellow by the name of Uzziah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We're talking about great people, great men. And so you think sometimes, in their greatness, what gets lost? They lose focus of the Lord. That's the tragedy of it all. So here in 2 Chronicles 26, go quickly there and I'll just try and condense this down and give you just a little bit of a feast from the life of King Uzziah. 2 Chronicles 26. And incidentally, when you read books like Isaiah and Jeremiah, you'll find these prophets were around in the days of kings like Uzziah. And men like Isaiah and Jeremiah, they outlived 4 and 5 kings during their time of prophecy. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Let's look down verse 1. 2 Chronicles 26:1. It says, and all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. 16 years of age. Boy, he must have been pretty mature at that age. Verse 4. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Verse 7. God helped him against the Philistines. So yes, there was a reliance on God. As he sought God, God blessed him. God undertook for him. And he was used mightily of God. So Uzziah was one of those great kings. He built towers, it says in verse 9. He built towers out in the desert, dug many wells. And he was a man that loved cattle. He was loved husbandmen, the Bible says, for he loved husbandry. You know, King Uzziah was busy in the king's business, but he too, like King Solomon, began to stray. And sadly, because he was the king, he thought, well, listen, I'm the king. I don't have to give an account to anybody. I'm the king and I can do what I want. So King Uzziah sort of began to make his own rules. Cutting this short, came to the point where he even said, you know, I feel like I'm going to go into the temple today. I'm going to offer myself my own sacrifices and so forth and so on. And so the Bible says in verse 15, he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. His name was spread far abroad, for Oh, he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Think about those catapults and those great war machines. He was one of the guys that invented those things, mounted them on the walls for the protection of his people. Verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. I've arrived, man. I'm so powerful. I'm so famous. Everybody knows who I am. And, you know, I've arrived. So he figures, you know what? I'm going to go into the temple. And the Bible says down here he's going to go in there and burn incense himself. That was not his job. So now he's moving out of the realm of being a king to being one of the priests. Now, there only one, a lot of people that were to minister in the temple, and they were the Levites. So he's broken the law as the king. In doing this, he's overstepped the line. So he's getting further and further away from the Lord. Look at it says in verse 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. These were not wimps, these guys. These were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king. They opposed him. Said, you know, you have no right to do this. You might be the king, but you're out of line. You've crossed the line. You have no right to do this. And so these were valiant men. They withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests and the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honour from the Lord God. Whew, that's really putting him in his place. These were the priests. Said, you have no right to be here. You have no right to do this. Go. Get out. It says, then Uzziah was wroth. Who are you to tell me? I'm the king. So he was wroth, had the censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him and said, behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Brother, took him by the seat of the pants, scruff of the neck, and out. They thrust him out. They tossed him out. No right being there because he had violated the law, but now he's also a leper. And it says he himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah, the king, was a leper unto the day of his death. I'll just leave that there. So I just wanted to share with you this morning how dangerous it is to get away from the Lord. Men who lost touch with God. There was Samson, and there was Saul, and there was Solomon, and there was King Uzziah. So, you know, people get to that point where they think they're so powerful, they've got so much authority, and they can just do what they want. But, you know, there's a God in heaven that still rules. And even our own politicians, believe it or not, they are subject to the law of God, because the Bible calls them, they are the ministers of God to thee for good. Let's pray. Father, encourage our hearts once again from the word of God. These things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. May we learn from the lives of these men and see the wrong that they did. And I pray we'd never get to the point where we would abuse the liberty that you've given us, Lord. And I pray we'd always stay close to you and close to your word. We ask our Father too, you'd speak to hearts this morning, undertake for those who could not be here. We ask, Lord, you just have your way in the closing moments of this service this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Brother Les, thank you for letting me come today.